From St. Joseph, Missouri, here is Travis Lee Hartman.
You awake?
Hey, Poppy.
All right. Cheers, buddy.
I'm going to have to pour some more.
Don't break my bullet.
Again. Break your other bullet.
Okay. Welcome to another episode of Weighing In with Travis Hartman. It's really a party for your eardrums. We talk about boxing, sports, life, whatever comes to mind. That over there is Travis Hartman. I'm Brandon Waters. Before we get started, as always, we just ask that if you have a chance to, you feel inclined to, go ahead and click a little subscribe, a like. I think there's a little bell icon on YouTube. Wherever it is, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Casts, we're all over the place.
And if you don't do it, I will come there and punch you straight in the stomach.
Ouch. That sounds like it would... Well, I've had you punch me in the stomach. It's not... It's...
Ooh.
Okay.
There is a still shot that you screenshot of the video.
There is.
It looks pretty hard.
It does look that way, but it's a kind of a Hollywood effect.
Yeah.
Looks can be deceiving. So
you are pretty Hollywood, though.
What I will say is if you want to see that and some other shenanigans, our Facebook page is up and running, too. So go find us.
That's Weighing right.
In at, Weighing In with Travis Hartman.
I think we have, like, tens of likes on that.
We're
as
having
well.
Tens of everything the past few weeks. I think also, Travis, which is interesting, I think we finally got our audio set up golden. I don't want to promise it because until I go post-production, I don't know if it's any good.
I'm a little shaky right now. Okay. I just got tight. I just got really tight because last week my audio was terrible. My video was not even there after I recorded it, and it didn't show up. I dropped the ball last week.
The week
that
before.
Was on my that was well, at least not me. Let's blame the MacBook Air.
I'm gonna blame Apple.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, can we get some kind? I hear. I don't know if it's junk mail or not, but I just got like a class action lawsuit email today.
Listen,
about
gonna,
Apple.
I'm gonna blame Apple. Yet we're conveniently sponsored by Apple. I'm just kidding.
We wish.
If that happened. However, we will talk about this a little bit later. We're going to talk boxing. Trust me. We're just now just kind of shooting this the stuff. We're going to talk about this.
Shooting the stuff.
Stuff. We're still PG-13.
Stuff.
Gang, we have upgraded this week. We're drinking Hill Rock Double Cask Rye Whiskey. Thank you, Brian Price. We'll chat about that after a couple. But my goodness. It's already pretty dang good.
Yeah, and I feel like we're going to finish that.
Yeah,
I think so. I feel like it's one of those nights.
We've already started working our way, so it's... anyways, Travis, I don't want to deviate too much because the fans out there want to talk boxing. They want to hear your expertise. I know there was a busy weekend.
Super busy.
What are we weighing in on today?
Amateur boxing.
Sweet, let's do it.
USA Olympic-style amateur boxing. Wow, it was a busy weekend, man. Friday morning, we made the 2.5-hour trek down to Punta Gorda for the Sugar Burt National Qualifier. So it's a 2-day tournament, and the winners go on to the Nationals, which I believe are in a couple of months. I don't know if it's scheduled yet or not for sure, but wow, this was a different experience for me. As you know, I've been pro for 16 years, so I haven't really been around the amateur scene. It's been 12-plus years, actually, because I did start coaching amateur boxing while I was pro. Like I said, I think it was 2011, 2012 was my last USA Boxing certificate for being a coach, because you have to get registered, you have to pass a bunch of background checks and things like that to be USA Boxing sanctioned, and I was. Mm-hmm. And then this time around as well, I had to do it again. I had to do a background check. I had to actually do these two different certifications online of these going over the rules. I had to watch these safety videos. And the whole time I'm watching these videos, I'm legit thinking, I'm like, I probably have more experience than the person that made these videos in the boxing game, yet I still had to watch them and go through that certification. So it's kind of cool. But
so were those videos in the past you've had to see, or is this new?
This is new. This is all brand. Because when I first got sanctioned, I didn't do none of that stuff. So this time around, they've obviously changed a lot of stuff, which I think is actually, it's not terrible. I think it's pretty cool because before, it was almost like anybody could just walk up and get a registration to be a coach. So now you actually have to go through certain steps, and I love it that they do background checks because a lot of these coaches are working with younger kids, younger girls now as well. So it's positive, I think, that these guys are having to pass background checks first to be a coach. So USA Boxing, in that regard, and remind you, I'm just saying in that regard, But I got to give them props when props are due. That's a positive thing, and I'm all about that. It costs a little extra. You have to pay for the background check. I didn't mind. I think I paid like $150 or something to be sanctioned by USA Boxing. So it wasn't terrible. I think in the long run, it's going to weed out kind of the weirdos and the creeps that kind of creep into boxing.
They call those the riffraff, Travis. The riffraff.
It's going to weed out the riffraff.
So okay, let's break down the Sugarbert for a second. Sugarbert Classic, I believe. We had highlighted that on our Facebook page, just the fact that we were going to be recording this a day late because of that tournament. So from your experience, because you have experience competing amateur first, obviously, and then coaching a little bit in the past, give us a rundown how times were versus now how they are, because obviously we're still under this whole malaise of the...
Of 2020.
Of 2020.
And remember, listeners, if you've been listening to any of our episodes, if we say the big C word...
We're using this as a reference point, so that doesn't count.
Exactly. Okay. And but we can say the C word.
Oh, yeah, so
we
the
just
big
can't
C.
pronounce the C word.
Yeah, not
if
that
you got
C word.
The pandemic. If you...
They call it plandemic.
Oh, plan. For the conspiracy theorists out there, it's the plandemic. Yeah. But regardless of whatever, if we use the C word... We have to do... Actually, Brandon, do I have my basketball? Do you have the basketball? We'll go ahead and do it now because we have
your
to do
producer,
it at the beginning.
Your producer always comes prepared.
He does. So the rule is if I make this, we only have to do 5 push-ups every time somebody says the C word. Hmm. If I miss it, we do 10. And if anybody's been watching, I've missed it every time. So we've been doing 10 push-ups.
I'm just anticipating doing 10 later.
Although Brandon was shooting earlier and he realized that it's a lot harder than
it
looks.
It's a lot harder. When I was a kid, I used to shoot on these things all the time. And it wasn't that bad, but whatever.
This is no warm-up, too, by the way. Zero warm-up.
Okay, hold on. Let me move.
Okay. And look at this form, guys. This is textbook form, okay? Elbows here, straight back, straight forward. Money! Money! Yeah!
Did that go in?
It did, I promise.
It bounced so high up.
It hit the backboard and went in, I swear. Listen, if anybody's watching that, I'm so excited, but please, you can still frame this, screenshot it, let us know. But I made that, Brandon. You always say I don't make it. Actually, I haven't made it until now.
Okay, so...
I'm so excited.
I'm too scared to mess with the tech to go in the rewind machine.
True, very true.
Okay,
very
so
true.
We're going to go with that. It just means that I'm going to say the big C word more than once.
Yeah, because now we only have to do 5 push-ups.
Yeah, which I've already done a ton today.
Congratulations, Travis, for making that. Oh, you're welcome.
Today was chest day, by the way, for me.
Obviously, I never do chest day, but...
All right, so we are way off topic already, and we're only a few minutes in. So let's get back on board with amateur boxing. You were down at the Sugarbert in Punta Gorda. The event was kicked off. You told me in pre-production there's like 500 people there. Seemingly a good event. However, not without issue, not without... And to their credit, I don't think it's all on them, obviously. I think USA Boxing has their own hand in some things. But details seem to change. And it was obviously it's been tough for the trainer and the fighter. So give me kind of some color to this with regard to past experience versus what you're seeing now.
I mean, before I kick that off, I just want to ask you why you haven't commented on my new outfit.
I have a format of the way I talk about stuff in order to properly make fun of you.
Was that not on the list
not
yet?
Is this brand new? Because okay, there's creases in the shirt.
This is
brand
new.
Okay.
This is brand new.
We'll
sir.
Do that later.
There's
get
only,
to boxing.
There's only creases because Irina is not here because she's at the U.S. Open commentating.
That's
so
true.
I don't have the person who literally keeps me alive.
You don't know how to use an iron?
She does those things for me.
Jeez almighty.
Okay, but we'll get to it now. Okay. So Sugarbert, I think Brandon is right. I try to not bash people, so I'm not going to bash anybody, but I'm going to tell the events that went down because I do feel that this is one of the worst, probably worst amateur boxing experiences that it's up there. Maybe not the worst because I've had some bad ones in my day, but it's one of the worst, meaning the fights, it was a 2-day event. The fights started on Saturday, and they were Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday the fight started at 1 p.m., right? My guy didn't walk into the ring until 11 p.m. This is amateur fights. This isn't the pros. The fight started at 1 p.m. He didn't walk into the ring until 11 p.m.
Now, were they, because I wasn't there, so I'm just trying to get kind of a visual. in between each fight? Were they having to do like a clean down or something like that with the ring? Is that why it took so long?
Yes and no. It took so long because what ended up happening was there's three rings. Okay, this is the pretext of this whole event was it's three rings going at the same time. And they're spaced out quite a bit. There's quite a bit of space in between the three rings. And it's a huge event center down in Punta Gorda. Like, this was a very, very big auditorium. It was big enough to fit three rings comfortably with bleachers and chairs on one side. There was only bleachers and chairs on one side. And then the opposite side was, like, the officials. And they gated it off that way. Nobody can kind of get in there around the judges. Because, for the most part, the judges are, that all of the judges in USA Boxing are generally usually of the older type. Is that politically?
You could say they're older.
What can I say? They're older.
They're experienced.
Okay, they're experienced.
They're seasoned veterans.
They're seasoned veterans, and I almost wanted to knock out a seasoned veteran. But wait, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that, but I'll get into that later. But so the event was three rings. I think there was 31 or 32 fights in each ring. So there's three rings, right? For whatever reason, I thought it was because one of the rings broke down, but ring number three, they stopped having fights in it after about the fifth fight. So they started combining those now into rings one and two. What they were doing is they were doing five bouts in ring one, five bouts in ring two, and then they would revert back and then start doing five bouts in ring two or ring three, even though it was in ring one and two, because they already had the bout sheet for ring three. So they were trying to get them all done at the same time. So it pushed everything back. We'll come to find out, they ended up resuming matches in ring three, like about 6 or 7 or even 8 o'clock. I don't even remember. But I think it was because they didn't have a doctor. So they had to stop. They have to have a doctor for each ring. And something happened and they didn't have it. I thought the ring broke. Nobody was informing anybody of what was happening. They were just like, there's no more bouts in ring three. We're doing
so that
this
alone is the problem. It's, you know, with anything in life.
It was
or
so
any,
unorganized.
Any business, whatever else, the communication breakdown is the worst thing. Because if you and any other trainer there with their fighters, if you were told that, here's why ring three is not going,
yep,
we just actually don't have our third doctor.
Yep.
I'm sure the experience would have felt a little bit different. You would have been, okay, you could probably let that pass by until
yeah,
a third doctor shows up.
And then let me complicate it even more for you. Because of the C word, we had... They weren't allowing any of the boxers and the coaches into the building until, I think they said, 2 or 3 fights before your fight. So you had to literally be outside or your hotel. And good thing was all of our hotels were walking distance away, but I seen a lot of coaches have their fighters just sitting right outside the building. In Punta Gorda, it was hot.
It's hot, man.
Super hot. So I told my fighters, even though I was at the event center for like 7 or 8 hours, I was like, you guys stay in the hotel. I'll tell you when to come over. But... mind you, by the way, so there was about, I would say, 500 total people, counting the boxers, their people, their trainers, and the fans, tickets. About 500 people in this event center, maybe even a little more. I'm not sure. I'm just estimating at that because there was a lot. Mm-hmm. But we all had to wear masks. Everybody had to wear a mask at all times. The boxers had to wear masks until they stepped into the ring. Once they got inside the ring, they took the mask off, put the headgear on, fought. As soon as the headgear came off, they had to put the mask back on for
okay,
the decision.
So that's a change then, because
yes,
a couple weeks back, we were talking that it was handed down from USA Boxing that you had to fight with the mask. It makes no sense. So at least that seems a little better.
Well, it does, but you know what else? I'm glad that that happened, because that was the first thing that I was going to address when I got down there. But they didn't even tell anybody that they were not making them do that. So I reached out to the head of the Sugar Burt on their Instagram account, actually, and I was like, hey, I just found out you're making people wear masks. Is this true? They said, yes, you have to wear a mask while you're fighting. Last I heard, they didn't update anybody else, say any different. Like, this is USA Boxing rules. We have to do it.
That's
we get down there. They didn't fight with masks on.
That's an extreme difference. So,
a big difference.
So do you know whether or not, is it an actual legitimate USA Boxing rule that amateurs have to fight with a mask on?
I'm actually really not even sure
we
now, because literally they said that it was, and without any notice, other than we're walking to the ring, you can take it off and get in the ring now.
Well, see, that's like everything else when it comes to the big C. It's like the rules keep changing, right?
They keep moving the goalposts, Brandon. They keep moving the goalposts.
The rules of the game change. Interesting.
So there's so much to this story. I'm trying to run it down as fast as I can.
No,
difficult.
It's fine. Take your time,
but
Travis. We're here.
So we get there. So I will give you all of the rules in the context that they were very, very strict on social distancing They were strict on everybody wearing masks, which was positive. But they also, like I said, when Ring 3 shut down, they weren't letting people into the auditorium if they didn't have a fight coming up. So I literally just had to, like, bribe my way in, and I got in and found out that Ring 3 wasn't going. And I was just like, wait, what? And then the announcer, one announcer was announcing, when he was announcing the actual bout and, like, announcing each person who was fighting in the corner, their name and all that, he would say, bout four, this guy, right? And then he took a break, and somebody else came in, and the guy just started announcing the fighters. Stopped announcing the bout. There was no bout sheet anywhere, so I didn't even know what fight it was. So it was very, like, I'm just, I love that they put on events, because right now, this has been amazing. This has got to be one of the first events with fans. Like, I can't think of too many more events that have had fans, and they had fans. So I'm very, very thankful for Sugar Bear for putting it on. I really am. But also, I mean, I just have to point out the things that happened that could have been a ton better.
Yeah, because so far, the critiques, we'll call them critiques, right? Because I know they...
Constructive criticism, that's all it is.
They typically put on good bouts and good events. I get that. So far, every critique doesn't have anything to do with the Big C, really, other than the mask thing, but that was actually to the fighter's benefit. So far, it just seems like logistically, the doctor, ball was dropped. Switching announcers was a cluster. It just seemed like a cluster.
It did. And it, being there, it seemed the same way, because it was more of like nobody was being informed.
Yes.
They weren't really telling anybody what was going on, and people were just going up there and fighting. And it was good fights. I was so happy. Like I said, again, I was so happy to be there, and I was so happy that all that stuff was going on. But at the same time, Brandon, you know how everything's been in 2020. It was so good because I felt a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah.
Because people were just out and about. They were the fan. If you've watched boxing on TV lately, there's no fans.
It's weird.
Zero sounds, right? Well, there was a ton of cheering. There was a ton of clapping. There was a ton of chants. A guy got knocked down, and the whole place is like, ooh, those are the sounds that I've missed. So it was really cool to hear all that and see all that. So it kind of was hard to put me in a bad mood. So I wasn't in a bad mood at all, but I was worried about my fighters because things were just kind of a cluster. And I've gotten to the point now in my old age where I like a plan. I like to come there. I like a routine. I like to know when things are happening, when I need to start my fighter to wrap him up, when I need to do all this stuff. And it kept getting pushed back and back because my fighter, think about this. The fight started at 1, and he's the 29th bout. I was like, you know what? That's a lot of fights. So like, I'm like, let's just gauge for about 6 o'clock. That's like a rough estimate, but like, let's just gauge our food, when you're going to eat, when you're going to do this, when you're going to come to the auditorium, all of that. I was like, I'm thinking about 6:30, you're probably going to fight, which is fine because we normally train about that time. So like, that's actually perfect for us. No complaints. Oh my goodness.
But then you lose 33% efficiency because one ring goes down.
Yeah. Okay. And then they're not telling us things. And I was literally just cringing being there too, because I had to wear a mask the whole time, Brandon. Literally like 6, 7, 8 hours. So I know everybody listening like, oh, well, do you imagine if you're in the hospital? And I get it. I get it. People are wearing masks all the time and it's uncomfortable. I get it. But
my back of my ear
was hurting. My nose was hurting. It was chafing. And I was like, and it's hot. And I read where you're wearing them that long, it's actually very unhealthy. You're breathing in and out of your own air. Yep. It's not filtered. Like, it's not very good. So, like, but I was abiding by the rules for the most part. I can't tell the story yet that I told earlier because my story didn't happen. There's another story that happened on Sunday. Okay. So I'm still on Saturday.
That's fine. So can we take a sidestep for a second? Because we've been pretty good the past couple of weeks, not really diving into the mask and the Big C stuff. I'm beyond frustrated at this point because data keeps changing significantly right now.
They keep moving the goalposts.
The goalpost is moving. That's going to be our thing this week, I think. To the Corona Bros out there that might be listening.
Gosh, dang it. We got it.
I said Corona Bros.
Yeah, but you said the C word.
Fine. So I just said we it twice. So
we
that's
owe five.
10 already.
Mother effort.
To you guys and gals, can we talk about what we're actually scared about? I mean, it's death, right? That's it.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it seem like it's such a minor deal because it's not, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But ultimately, that's what we're very, very concerned about, and that's why we've stopped our world. That's why we've forced everyone to wear a mask in public and all this stuff is because of the potential of death.
Fatality.
It's
yep.
not a matter of being sick or spreading it. It's the death part component, correct? Correct.
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Which, that rate, as statistics keep working their magic, gets less and less and less. And our whole lives are different now because of this. And you're seeing
drastically
in various blue states, teachers ready to strike and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's because of death, right? I'm just trying to understand it. Death?
I think.
And with the death rate being so minimal, like it's, I heard on TV today that you actually have a bigger chance of being struck by lightning and dying than actually dying from COVID, correct?
Correct.
It's on TV. It must be correct, right?
If the news said it, it's
true. If it's on Weighing In with Travis Hartman, it must be correct.
Remember, we only spread truth.
Okay, I'm sorry. I deviated. I'm just getting frustrated, folks. I know a lot of you are getting frustrated, too.
I mean, it's you're not wrong, though. You're with the rest of the country when we think about this.
But you want to know why?
Why?
Because when I'm out there and I coach, like I'm one of the coaches on my son's football team, we have to go wear a mask outside, too. When I'm wearing a mask, it's covering up my face and my beard.
You can't mess with
that's
the beard.
All I got. That's all I got. I don't have anything else, Travis. That's all I got.
You know what? It does suck because I think there's actually studies about this that says that when a person sees another person smiling, if a person looks at somebody else and smiles at them, they said that it releases positive endorphins in the body. This is a study. It's 100%. So when you smile at people, look at them, stare at them, all that stuff, it creates positive stuff, and that just kind of reverberates through the world. But right now, you're not seeing any smiling. Not that people aren't smiling. It's their masks are covering their faces.
Travis, I smile all the time.
But couldn't tell.
You can't tell because I have angry eyes.
First of all, I want to know why we're not wearing a mask right now.
That's a good point. I have it in my car because you have to. I almost had to turn around the other day because my kids forgot theirs to go into their school. And I almost had to turn around. Thank goodness like the office had some to use for the day. But my gosh.
So I lost mine halfway through down here at the Sugar Burger.
Good segue. Let's go. Let's
and
do it.
Do you want to know how I got a free one? It was awesome. So I was like, because we were downtown Punta Gorda. Punta Gorda is not a metropolis. It's like middle of nowhere. Very old, very nice city, but it's very old. And we're just where the hotels are at. And I'm like, I can't, like, where am I going to go? Like, I can't go to like a Walmart. It's like 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. I'm at the fights. So I walked into the hotel, one of the nearby hotels, and I walked in that you have to wear a mask just walking. It's pretty serious down there because I feel like it's an older population down there.
Sure,
so
sure.
They're very strict, really, down there, the businesses were. So I walked into there. I was like, I don't have a mask. Like, what do you want me to do? They're like, okay, here's one. And just gave it to me. And I wasn't even staying at that hotel. And I turned around and walked out.
Deuces.
Yeah,
see ya.
But I got me a free mask because, like, I didn't know what else to do.
That's
and then I went
as,
back to the
that's
boxing.
That's almost as bad as when you gotta, like, walk in a place because you got to take a dump.
Yeah.
It's like that.
The customer, you have to
like,
get
hey,
customer
bathroom. Where's the restroom at? Oh, I promise I'll buy something.
Right now with the toilet paper shortage, you better buy something because
I know,
these
right?
places... Are we still there?
I don't think so. I think it's on the shelves. I think we're good.
I haven't bought toilet paper for a while.
Yeah, they even have the good stuff on the shelves too. You're not having to buy the the store brand stuff. Anyways.
So where did I end up? We're talking about
the
boxing.
First of all, we have 10 push-ups.
Is this boxing?
Because I said the C word twice.
All right, I guess we'll okay, we'll do them. Let's do them.
Do it for the folks.
Watch out for this man's life. 10, right? 10. 1 down, 2 down. I feel like you did more than 10.
What did 10?
Because I feel like you were going faster than me. And you finished the same time as me.
Because I do them quicker.
Yeah, but you should have finished quicker.
The last one, I kind of held it there, so you wouldn't feel bad.
Yeah, because, dude, Brandon, he really did smoke me on those push-ups. You have smoked me, like, every time on those push-ups. I'm kind of upset about that.
But that's all I got. I just got push-ups. That's all I got. And
You got a pretty sweet beard, though.
Yeah, but your beard game's getting a lot better.
Man, is it, like, come on, like, it is a little bit better. It is a little bit.
We're really taking advantage of the upgrade in audio and visual capability this week.
Keep speaking.
Okay.
You have the voice of an angel.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get back. So, I do have a big, big beef, and the beef is more probably with USA Boxing than Sugar Burt. So, I got to give Sugar Burt maybe some credit, but I'm not even sure. Maybe it was their fault, too. I don't know. But because of the event running long, they ended up making all of the fights one-minute rounds. So if we have any boxers listening or any boxing coaches listening, you're going to know how massive a difference this is. My fighter was training for 3 rounds. Each round was supposed to be 3 minutes. They changed those rounds from 3 minutes to 1 minute. And let me give you a little context even more. The rest period between rounds is 1 minute. So you fight for 1 minute, you rest for 1 minute. You fight for 1 minute, you rest for 1 minute. So if anybody knows anything about boxing, your game plan goes out of the door, because boxing is, I always tell everybody, it's like playing chess. You set up moves. You don't just go right at it. You set moves up here, set moves here, set traps here, do these things. And when you're going 1 minute, you can't set anything up. It's like a free-for-all almost. And my fighter doesn't fight that way. He's very technical. So my fighter's really good. Adrian is his name. Mm-hmm. Very, very tough guy. The kid comes and works his butt off. I mean, we train for hours. You know, we train long time because I want those fights to go longer, because the longer the fight goes, the better for Adrian, because he can fight and he's in shape. We get there and they told us this right before we were getting ready to fight. So game plan out the window. You know, and this just is upsetting to me, because I can't even critique that fight. I can't even figure out what we need to do better or worse, because what ended up happening is he ended up losing a decision. It was a very close fight still, but he lost the decision. And I don't know how to critique or go back to the drawing board and figure out what we can do differently, because I don't know. Because what happened was nothing, like, there's nothing that we could have trained differently for this, because this was unexpected. And I would never train my fighter ever to go 1 minute, because in my 15 years as an amateur boxer, that never ever happened to me one time. I never had them change the round length to 1 minute in my entire amateur career. So this even threw me off. I was just like, wait,
so,
what?
So did they do that from the start, or was it because that ring went down? Or, I mean, it was from bout one, it was only a minute round?
Well, bout one anyway was not a big deal, because they're called peewees now.
Okay.
The peewees, they go 1 minute and they have a minute off. So that was normal. So when that first started happening, that was not a big deal. So we were just like, that's normal.
So was it that once they went up like to the next age class, all of a sudden they forgot, oops, we weren't supposed to be a minute?
I don't know what they did, because we need to get them on our show.
And then on top of that, going 1 minute rounds, and he still didn't fight till 11?
Yeah. Isn't that, think about, let me give you this too. 3 1-minute rounds, that's 3 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to have 2 break periods mm-hmm. in a 3-round fight. So that's 2 minutes. Each fight lasted
Hold on. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I could do that.
Five minutes. I go to the bathroom longer than that.
Depends.
Well, if anybody knows me, I go a long time, but
I just watched
regardless.
I saw you eat all that chilies right before we did that, so.
but that wasn't just, that was a Tex-Mex bowl of rice and beans.
Exactly.
And avocado.
Okay.
But anyway, rice and beans, I gotcha.
Yeah.
So he goes into the ring. Our game plan totally changed. I was like, listen, man, I was like, we just got to let our hands go and get to it. And he tried his best. By the time he even could get a warm up, the round was over. He was in the corner. He literally, I was there. He didn't even work up a sweat.
No, I've trained with him. I know him.
3 minutes is how long he fought for.
It takes him a bit to open up. He trains hard, but he's not even, like, warmed up. Like, I was, like, even a 3 minute would kind of be tough in some cases.
Yeah. This guy is literally, and that's why he's got a very, he's training for the pros, and that's how I train him, because one, the pros are 3 minute rounds as well, but also the elite level amateur boxing is 3 minute rounds. The only difference is in the pros, you go more rounds. The amateurs, you max out at 3 rounds, but the pros, you max out at 12 rounds.
My anticipation for him going down there was, okay, 3 rounds, unless he does some damage in the first 2 rounds to this guy, it's going to take him about 2 rounds to open up. Third round is going to be like it.
Yeah.
But dude,
and then he's going to really turn it on.
To crush, to be a minute each. What was the point?
It sucked because it...
For all the people traveling down there.
Yeah, we drove 2.5 hours one way.
I'm sure people flew from out of state to come. Yeah. Because there's not a lot of events going on right now.
No, especially boxing. Amateur boxing especially. It was very frustrating. So he lost and, you know, he wasn't happy, of course. And, you know, I got it. I was like, you know, blow off your steam, do what you got to do. You know, he walked back to the hotel. It was a little bit of a walk. Maybe like a 5-10 minute walk. It wasn't terrible. Maybe it was like 10 minute walk, but it wasn't terrible. But you know, I let him walk back. But at the end of the day, anybody listening to this, they know that when you go from being thinking you're gonna fight 3 minute rounds to 1 minute rounds, It's a total different, like you, Brandon even said, Brandon, and you could. Brandon's like, I could fight 3 1-minute rounds. You would get a little bit tired, but I know you could do it, though. Really? You could walk in off the street and do that. I know you could.
Yeah, any sparring.
So that's what it just listen, changes
any,
the game.
Any sparring exercise or like, you know, everyone calls it a different thing, four corner drills, whatever else, those are usually a minute each. Mm-hmm. I've done those. I mean, just for them, and that's why I'm surprised they haven't communicated what the change was, because honestly, they put on great events in the past. So
their nationals last year was very, I went to it as a fan and as a spectator. It was very well ran. I thought it was very organized, and it was good. It went off good.
I just don't understand. The lack of communication is the troubling thing.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, with everything updating and all the rules and regulations, like let me give you for instance, because I just got the email today for Flag Football League that my son is a part of with his school. All the rules for them when they show up to the field, taking temperatures, that stuff is fine. It's now for the parents and the coaches, there's a ton of stuff, a lot of hoops to jump through. First of all, certain age range on up, parents aren't even allowed on the field to spectate. They have to be behind this fence area and socially distanced. There's not a lot of room out the
out
of these
fields.
But
I bet that's kind of cool because parents get overbearing anyway. So I bet that kind of helps a little bit in your guys' just to keep them back a little bit.
Yes and no, but you don't know kind of the way that this field is designed. It's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And also for this league in particular, they have this 30-minute window in between each game too in order to clear out a field because they don't want so much interaction back and forth. I understand why. I don't agree with it because I don't agree with the whole thing.
The big C.
The big C.
We don't agree with the big C.
We could talk about that all day. We're not going to.
But I will. I gotta. You just reminded me of something that I need to put out there as well. They did take our temperature as well going into the fights. So they did our temperature. We had to wear masks the whole time. So let me go and fast forward. My fighter lost.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the first night.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that he lost to ended up winning the whole thing, which I knew he would because if you beat my guy, I knew whoever won our fight. I was like, my guy's good. He can fight, period. And you've seen him train. The guy can fight. He's good. He just got a bad luck is all. You know, we got to learn from it. I don't know what we learn. We learn that I think the learning thing is just we got to move on.
Well, so let me ask you, did his opponent then just take the time change to his advantage or did he just like go in like a bull raged up?
I mean, I would
how,
say
how did it work out?
Yeah, I would say he took it to his advantage in the point where he – in the third, so I think that the other guy, his name was David Garcia. I think David Garcia won the first round. I do. I think he won the first round.
Okay.
And I'm fair with that. The second round, I think Adrian won. I think he for sure won the second round. The third round, that David Garcia landed like a 4 or 5 punch combination, and then he moved the whole round.
Smart.
So he was very smart. And I could tell these guys are elite. So this guy had been boxing for a little bit. You have to have over like 10 or 11 fights to be in the elite division, and it's. You can go to Olympics fight, and you have to be in the elite division to fight in the Olympics, and this kid was. So I know he'd been around enough where he was smart, very smart. He's like, boom, boom, boom. Okay, I got him. Let's go. So he did use it to his advantage.
Yeah.
Even though I still thought the third round was very, very close, I thought Adrian pulled it off. However, the judges didn't think he did. So I was just like, I'm not going to cry he got robbed because I don't believe he got robbed, not even close. I thought he pulled it off, but obviously he didn't. All three judges thought the other guy won, but it was not – the fairest of fair, the fact that the circumstances got put in there, and I know that if Adrian had time, Adrian was bigger than this guy too, taller, a little more muscle mass, all of that, that I know that if Adrian had been weighing on this guy for 3 solid rounds, he would have tired the guy out. And then he would have beat him down.
I've said in the past week, the guy looks like he's cut out of marble.
Oh my God, you want to hear the funny story too?
I do.
You guys called him Drago off Rocky, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding you when this happened. We were standing... We were one fight before his fight, so we were standing like in the on-deck circle where you're getting ready to go out to the actual ring, right? There's these little kids that are like 10 years old. They're running gloves, right? They pick up the gloves and have to take them back, and they clean the gloves. This little kid running by, stops, turns around, and goes, oh, my God, you look like the guy off Rocky III. I am not even kidding. And I looked at him, and I was like, yeah, Drago. All right, get out of here.
Listen, that's
and Adrian looked, and he laughed.
Listen, that's it. I mean, he doesn't have a choice. So many of us have called him that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I feel like that's his name now. It's Drago.
It is.
So Adrian's like 6'3", 6'4", 200 pounds. He's Polish.
Yeah.
So he's very, you know, European looking.
So not Russian, but he has the Eastern European
accent.
Exactly. So the first time I met the guy, It was nice as that all get up.
Super
right?
nice, yeah.
Super nice. So we trained together here in the TH Boxing facility. On an early Saturday morning, and we dubbed it Price Boxing South because we have some collaborations involved. However, so Adrian, nice as hell, works his butt off. I mean,
he's a hard worker,
and he looks smooth. He looks good. But dude, I mean, when you start hearing him talk and whatever else, you're like, that's Drago.
That's Drago. He was born in Poland, raised in Brazil, so the kid speaks Portuguese. So his accent is all over the place,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
But he's like, I kept making the joke, if he dies, he dies.
He dies, yeah.
If you know Rocky people, that's what I'm quoting.
That's
if
right.
he dies, he dies.
That's right.
My accents aren't very good, so right. make fun of me.
Rest in peace, Apollo Creed. All right, so that was the experience with him fighting. The rules changed on everybody, so you can't really say that that's going to be a detriment to him.
Because everybody had to deal with it. Exactly, and that's why he even said that. He was just like, he didn't make excuses to me at all. Yeah. He was just like, I was like, listen, man, it did change. He goes, but yeah, he's like, but the other guy had to fight through the same stuff, Travis. And I was like, you're right. We got to adapt sometimes.
It's just interesting that the communication was lacking as to why. And why the sudden change, or, you know, why wouldn't they alert you guys of that in advance, a day, two?
What I didn't get was this was a national qualifier. Yeah. This was to go to nationals.
So how can that, I mean, this.
And the next day, this, okay, you would be right if they had to hurry the fights up because of it lasting so long. But the next day in the finals, they did the same thing. The kid fought again, 3 1-minute rounds.
So,
for the qualifier,
we have to find out. Then, do you think this is what's happening nationwide? I mean, I'd imagine if it's a national qualifier, I'm thinking other sports.
No, yeah. Because originally on the schedule, it said how many minute rounds they were going.
Yeah,
that was on the original schedule. It said elite division, and it said 3 minute rounds. It said 2 minute rounds for certain other.
So
it said they were supposed to do that, and then they changed it. On the go.
I mean, I know how track and field qualifiers will work, just my experience from a coaching standpoint being in that. I know that if I looked at that as a coach or a trainer, and I'm from a different region, and we had to fight under different circumstances to qualify and move on up, then... Is this me? Oh, well, it's getting there. Relax. See, this is endearing. This is our endearing part. So, where was I going with this?
I don't know.
If I'm from a different region and we're all qualifying to go to nationals, mm-hmm. and I hear, oh, wait a minute, those guys from the Sugar Bird, they're only fighting these one-minute rounds.
It changes.
So that's
again.
Why I'm curious if this is a nationwide thing or if it's just for whatever reason they did it here.
Well, Sugar Bird is more of a – Sugar Bird is a fairly new national tournament. They call it a national tournament because they do have a lot of people that come from all over.
But you still –
But it's only like in the southern part of America
that we do
it. But
you still have to follow the same
format. Oh, yeah. It's USA Boxing. Because that's the end of the day. That's why I was confused is USA – Sugar Bird can do a lot of things, but – USA Boxing makes the rules. They sanction it. They're the ones there, and they're the ones that tell Sugarbird, hey, this is what's going on. These are the referees. These are the judges. These are everybody. Sugarbird's essentially the promoter, okay? Just like in pro boxing.
Sure, sure.
There's a promoter. They can't do certain things. They have to do certain things based on what the commission says. USA Boxing is the commission. So there's a lot of the onus and a lot of blame has to go towards USA Boxing for allowing that to happen as well. They allowed 3 1-minute rounds.
Well, I'd imagine.
Even if Sugar Bird said, hey, I want to do this, USA Boxing had the ultimate say to say, no.
Yeah, you would think that they had to have a representative on site anyways.
They do. They have head referees, they have head judges, they have everybody that is there to keep boxers safe, to keep the integrity of the game intact.
Maybe they're the ones that eventually kicked you out because you pulled your mask down below your nose. With that, okay.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
We'll get there.
Folks, I did get kicked out of the locker room.
This is the cliffhanger.
I am.
So we're going to take a mild break here.
It's a good story.
As always, it's going to seem like nothing happened. It's a few seconds interlude where if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see a nice, cool little graphic because we're waiting for someone to come out and say, you know what? Hey, we like these guys. We're going to buy them a pizza. Or...
Well, pizza. Like, give us a... Like, hey. I ate Chili's tonight.
Chili's, where you at?
Chili's, baby back ribs. They don't do that anymore, do they?
We just gave you a free prop to our tens of followers.
Our tens.
And speaking of
followers.
If you aren't following us already, but you're listening and you keep listening, would you just follow us?
I mean,
subscribe
come on,
to us, like us. We're pretty good.
Do
we're,
us a solid.
We're nice
man.
Guys. Look at this guy in his threads. We'll talk about that when we come back too. The guy literally made a shot on this hoop above my head here.
Boom.
I saw it.
Boom.
Hit, I saw it hit around this area. And went right in.
It did.
That was
it
good.
Went
see
in.
How I tracked that.
You actually did. That was pretty, pretty good. Right?
So with that, please, if you haven't already, go ahead and give us a like. Subscribe to us. Give us a follow. Forward us on to your friends. Make love to our YouTube account.
Make mad love to our YouTube account.
We'll be back after a short interlude. Oh my gosh, what are we, Travis, what are we even doing with our lives?
I don't know anymore. I worked my butt off all day.
You
know what?
You got a little something something right there.
Wait, where?
Well, see, our girls aren't here today to take care
of
our faces.
People loved that.
Man.
Oh, here, I'll do it. Here, I'll
they
do
love,
it.
We actually got more feedback off of that than our actual podcast itself.
People thought it was serious, though.
Okay, take a look. All right, so while Travis checks himself out, we are back.
Wait, where's it at?
Other side. I think you got it. Yeah, you're good.
Okay,
you're good.
I see. I was like, what are you doing?
The beer's a catch-all.
Yeah, it is.
We're back with Weighing In with Travis Hartman. Thank you for your patience as we were, you know, we weren't paying any bills this time, but we were just kind of reassessing where we're at and refreshing ourselves. And also, as you can see here, we're out of Hill Rock. Now, we are drinking today. It was a gift from Brian Price with Price Boxing. Thank you very much. Drinking Hill Rock Double Cask Rye Whiskey. Holy moly. Number one.
We stepped our game up this week.
Yeah, number one. This is good. I mean, everything's good every week. This.
I didn't know it was good until I had this.
Yeah, everything else is going to be butt juice by the time we're done with this stuff. It's going to taste like butt juice.
Did you really just say butt juice?
I almost said the other word, but I was trying to keep this PG-13 to way of a guest. So Hill Rock, listen, guys, if you have over $100 to spend and you like rye whiskey, buy this and buy it for us.
Yeah, if you want to send it to us, I'm happy with that, too.
We'll actually give you props.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
on
you.
Air.
We'll talk about you for like 5 or 10 minutes.
Brandon, I just want to tell you real fast, interrupt. I have my phone up,
yeah.
And I checked our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Robert Solis just liked Weighing In with Travis Hartman. So, Robert, I know you, brother. I met you in Texas after I fought Cordell Booker a couple of years ago. So, brother, I drank a beer with him, actually, after the fights.
Yeah.
So, Robert, appreciate you, brother.
There we go. See, I think we're going to start doing that.
And that was 6 minutes ago. He just liked it. So that was you got some up-to-date stuff.
Hey, we're going to give you some on-air props here. You start giving us some support, we're going to start giving you props on air.
100%.
Why not? This is our show, right? It's really his show, and I'm just kind of trying to coordinate it.
It's a wee thing.
It's a wee thing.
Brandon's the best producer / co-host /
hey, you know what?
Hashtag, good beard, brother.
Hashtag we too.
Hashtag.
Is that a thing?
OMG. You know what I say? Because my fiance speaks Spanish, my favorite saying is, Dios mío.
Dios mío.
OMG. Yeah. Oh my God.
See, I'm quarter Hispanic, but I don't speak Spanish. I know some things, but not a lot.
Which quarter?
Where do we go from there? How about, I know we were talking Sugarbert a little bit, and the whole boxing topic that people actually tune in to listen to us with.
Oh, we better get back to that, right?
We could talk about that. So, all right, we were kind of discussing before the break. We were discussing some of the drawbacks, some of the issues going on, the changes in the logistics of the actual tournament. It was affecting like everybody. Obviously, the Big C plays a part in it to a degree. But actually, I want to highlight positives. Give me some positive feedback from the Sugarbert, if there is any. Please do, because this isn't a Blast Sugarbert podcast at all. We're just trying to give our feedback from a boxing standpoint of what's been going on, current events, and you were there. You were on site. So I know there's a lot of things that can be improved upon. You've critiqued it. Constructive criticism. Let's also give positive feedback.
Okay. I'm gonna give you the feedback like one of my good friends told me. This is a best man speech at the wedding. And he told me, this is how the best man speech should go, Travis. He goes, stand up, tell everybody, hey, everybody, you know, say your name and then tell everybody. They told me that the speech was supposed to last as long as the best, or as long as the groom lasts in bed. And then he sets down.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is I'm going to tell you the positives of the sugar burp.
Can I stop you there and just say I've only given one best man speech ever. And so when I did that, my speech was this, and it was very short and to the point. It was basically raise a glass. I spoke for like a minute because it's one of my best friends here, right? And I said some comments, and I rose. Everyone raised their glass, and I said, "May all your ups and downs in marriage only be between the sheets." Boy, was I wrong. No. If he's tuning in, and I might even point him this way, dude, you're better off right now after everything that went down over the last year. So more power to you.
So if anybody wants to give a best man speech, I'm telling you, the one about the last thing in bed is a good one. You stand up, you say, they tell me that the best man speech is supposed to last as long as the groom lasts in bed. You put a cheers up, and then you sit down.
Listen, you...
You got to sell it, though. You got to sit down for like 30 seconds, because people are looking, you're like, wait, what? And then you stay there for like 30 seconds, and they're like... And then they start cracking up. Then you get up and give the real speech.
See, the thing was, so there's supposed to be a real speech.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got to have one prepared after that.
Now, see,
you got to follow it up.
Mine was just kind of some of that, some comments, because we kind of grew up together in high school, whatever else. But at
you knew skeletons.
But at a certain point, there's only so many inside jokes you can talk about. So then you're just like, man, everyone wants to be here. They just want to drink and dance and have a good time. So let's jumpstart this thing.
Short and sweet.
Let's embarrass the future or the current in-laws, I guess. Let's embarrass the pastor who's there, everything like that. So I said, I'll make a little sex joke, and here we go. And lo and behold, you know, fast forward, 13, 14 years later. Don't worry about that. Anyways.
And by the way, I'm still in the process of setting my wedding date, which 2020 put a whole fiasco on that.
If that was to help you any, it's don't let me have a microphone, already tell.
You have a microphone right now.
I know, but this is like 9 weeks, 10 weeks. I don't know, were we 9 weeks?
This is episode nine or ten.
Nine or ten.
Oh, my goodness.
Ten or. I don't know. So you know by now,
I think it's 10.
If I'm starting to talk and I've been drinking, I'll keep going. So I'll be there. I love you guys. I'll support you guys. But do not let me talk.
Hey, better yet, Amber, if you're listening, can Amber give a speech too after she's been drinking?
No. We're gonna. Nope. We're pivoting
Amber,
now.
Amber,
we're pivoting.
Amber, I love you so much. Literally, already, I love you so much.
We're pivoting now. We're going back. We don't need to go there. We're going straight to boxing.
I just got Brandon in so much trouble.
Well, it requires her listening. So, anyways.
Your own wife is not listening to us.
How's your
fiance? What kind of producer?
Doing?
Oh, she's listening, actually.
Finally, tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Funny story. We probably shouldn't talk about that.
Why not?
Oh,
this is our podcast. We too. Hashtag we too.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to read the text messages. Literally, my fiance. By the way, she's doing commentating. And I believe the ESPN picked up their feed out there. She's at the U.S. Open, which is a very, no fans, no nothing. So only people there, you know, people, legit people in the world right now in the tennis realm. So let me tell you guys, my fiance just listened to our last episode of my story about the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, that was a couple weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah. So she's just catching up, bro.
Oh, my goodness. So she was on episode like 8 probably.
Or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
So the one that we were talking about, the Playboy Mansion and
the
grotto.
She literally texts me. She sends me a screenshot one. She was watching the video of our... By the way, we are on YouTube. So check us out. Subscribe to us. Subscribe to our tens of followers. That's the new joke. So she sends me a screenshot of the video. She goes, listening to your podcast. And I said, oh my. And then her reply back is, your Playboy Mansion story? LOL. And I'm like, all I said back was, ha, 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 ha. Because I'm pretty sure I told her the story, but maybe not everything.
You don't like when the significant other, like, gives you the LOL and you're just not sure, right? It doesn't fit. So you know, like, you're wondering if they're going to harbor some sort of issue or resentment. Like, next time you see her, when is it going to come up again? Now, I'm speaking from a veteran's point of view. I've been married a long time, Travis. And you are about to embark in that world. There are There's certain ways to nap.
Choose your words wisely.
I know,
Brandon.
I'm thinking as I talk.
I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to put the producer hat on right now.
Listen, I talk a lot with regard to my career, so I'm trying to navigate this on the fly. Navigate's a good word.
Brandon's a financial advisor, by the way, and if you need any help, reach out.
Well, thank you, Travis. This is
shameless plug, but it's true.
I am shameless. Anyway, so I think navigate was a good word. Speaking from a veteran, there are certain things to navigate. And when you get texts formatted a certain way that don't seem natural,
yeah,
your wheels start turning.
Oh, I'm not even finished with the text yet now.
Oh,
so,
God, keep going.
So, quotation marks. I'm a single man, and I'm 24, and I've been invited to the Playboy Mansion. So, guys, if you haven't listened to our episodes, there's an episode, and inside the headline, it says Travis's Playboy Mansion story. You better listen, because it's pretty good.
It's worth it. Actually, all of our content's worth it. If you haven't seen anything or listened, maybe this is your first time listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts. Maybe you're on Facebook. And at some point, Travis, pre or post-production, we're going Facebook Live. It's coming.
I love it.
Not this week yet, but if you haven't heard anything else prior to right now or hearing my voice right now, take a look at our past content. We've been doing this now for over 2 months. We wanted to build up some content. There's some technical quirks. We get that. But you know what? We're in the middle of a boxing gym.
It's called growing pains. We're in the middle of TH facility.
We're in the middle of the boxing gym.
Okay, that's better.
And so if you haven't seen or listened to this one episode with regard to the Playboy Mansion experience, please look back a few weeks. It's there. Look at all our stuff. And on top of that, if you're on YouTube, like it. Comment on it, because we're living in an algorithm world.
Give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Please.
I really don't care.
We are groveling at your feet.
100%.
To the masses. If you can see me over there, if you can see me right there, if you can see Travis over there, go support us.
Look at this shirt, though. How do you, like, it's a, guys, by the way,
are we doing
it's a new
this?
Shirt
are we
every week.
Talk about this now?
It's literally a new shirt every week. I feel like, Brandon, I have this new thing, and everybody knows it. Oh, I wore, this is funny, so I have to go back. We have to go, we're, you know what, we
Jeez.
Go, this is a podcast. This is weighing in with Travis Harper. I weigh in on everything.
Are we done with the Irina story?
Oh, no, we're not. Okay, let me, thank you for bringing me back on topic, producer. So, quotation marks, I'm a single man, and I'm 24, and I've been invited to the Playboy Mansion. Let me tell you where the after party was, ... she says. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the after party was at the grotto of the Playboy Mansion. All I sent back was, LOL. And that was a nervous LOL, by the way, by me. I don't know if I should read this next text message from her. I think I will. She says, you probably would have gotten an STD had you gone. God works in mysterious ways.
Wow.
I maybe shouldn't have read that. She's going to kill me right now for reading that.
Yeah, but you know what? She probably won't even listen or hear this for another month. So it's fine. You have a lot of time to build up points. Travis, there's a whole world I have to open you up to when it comes to the marriage game. And it's not a game, but I just say that in jest a little bit. I have this whole theory and idea in my mind. And a lot
I got these ideas.
A lot of other friends of mine that are married, we all have this whole concept. It's called the point system.
Okay.
I'm not going to... I'll elaborate it maybe on another week.
Yeah, maybe do it off the air.
I think
don't
our listeners want to hear my wisdom.
I mean, I think people need to listen because we give a lot of wisdom sometimes.
I mean, dude, this is a 16-year veteran over here.
I mean, sometimes it works every time.
Yeah, I'd say 30% of the time it works every time.
Mine's 60% of the time. Works every time.
Aim low. Aim low, bro. All right, so that was her response to that.
Yes.
So that just, I'm actually happy because I'm going to see another click and another
view.
Yeah,
we got another view. We got another view from the Irina Falcone.
Oh,
professional tennis player. Professional commentator for ESPN.
And you know what? Props to her. Go search for her on Facebook and other media channels. Go follow her too, because she's the most sane out of this whole crew that we got going on here. She's the one that's legit.
She's a verified Twitter user. Wow. She's got the blue check.
You don't have the blue check?
You know what? I'm a little upset about that now we talk about this.
My four followers know I'm verified.
I'm really angry with Twitter because...
Go to Parler, bro.
I don't even know what that is.
It's basically when us right-wingers got together and said we hate Twitter, we created our own thing. And it's basically, it's honestly, it's not a good way to disseminate information to one another. It's basically us like hating on.
Okay, so yeah, I'm probably not going to join it. But
yeah.
Twitter, I've been a professional athlete for 16. I've been a professional athlete longer than Irina.
This guy is blocked by Dana White.
Oh, that's another good story, too. We might have to tell that one day. But yeah, on Twitter, guys.
Another day. But
I am blocked by Dana White.
And, I got to say it. Followed by
Britney Spears. You think I'm lying?
Man.
Go to my profile. Go to her profile. See who she follows. Type in Boxin TH or Travis Hartman, and you'll see. I'm not lying. Hey, like, literally, I'm not lying.
To Amber, I'm sorry, babe, but man, you lucky son of a gun.
I'm just saying, I was out in Vegas about 10 or 11 years ago. And that's all you get.
That's all I get? Jeepers. Jeepers. To quote my friend Jared, jeepers.
Hey, by the way, I've been with Irina 8 years.
Yeah.
This was 11 or 10 years ago.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to
post-production,
we're talking. I'm sorry, but we have really, really gone
off
the
rails
here.
If you're still listening to us right now,
at this point, the Sugar Bro was the best amateur tournament ever.
It has to be now, right? We've deviated so far.
That's
so
okay.
We'll get back on topic. I'll jump back in there. I had two fighters fight in the Sugar Bird.
You did.
So my first fighter fought on the first night in the semifinals. He lost a decision on points. Unfortunate circumstance, but he did lose, and he's a man, and he took it like a man. And he took his loss, and we're just going to go back to the – not really – I wouldn't say go back to the drawing boards, because like I said, there's not much you can take away from that other than let's just keep working. Let's just keep working really hard, and we'll move on. And then I had another kid in his very first fight. He fought in the finals of the Sugar Bird, and he lost. So my coaching debut for Florida in the amateur boxing realm, I'm 0-2.
That's okay.
But you know what? It is okay, because I love what I do, and I know the family of the kid that just fought as well. Finn is his name.
Yep.
They're a great family. This kid has made leaps and bounds and mm-hmm. strides to where he's at now. And the fact that his very first amateur boxing event was a national qualifier. So it takes a lot of, and I think a lot of people know this, but it takes a lot of balls just to step in that ring.
I was going
to
say fortitude.
Testicular fortitude.
That's a Vince McMahon comment. WWFNE.
it takes a lot of that. It does.
But what I will say, and I'm going to give props to Finn here, because I met him one time, right? We trained together on Saturday a couple weeks ago. Good head on his shoulders. You know, a little like quiet guy, but very respectful. So to his parents, if you ever listen and follow us, you're doing a good job with your boy.
They really are, and I really do. I love their family, and they, ironically enough, live three blocks from me.
Yeah.
It's just they're really good people, and I appreciate it. And
yeah.
they're very appreciative of Finn coming here and training. And I listen, all the coaches out there, amateur coaches especially, because I don't think what people realize is amateur coaches, we do this for free. Amateur
sure.
boxers, they do it for free.
Sure.
You do it for the love of the game, and I do love it. I love helping these kids. I love mentoring these kids. I love putting these kids on a positive path in life. And that's how you have to look at it. At the end of the day, whether Finn ever becomes professional, whether Finn does anything, I know for a fact, win or lose, that kid's learning. That kid's being stronger. That kid he's going to be okay in life going through the stresses that he's went through. And that's what I love doing, and that's the passion that I have for all of this. And you know what? It's a funny story about that kid. He lost, and that kid was so bummed. And you know what? I'll tell everybody out there, you need to be a good sport when you win or lose, okay? He was a good sport. He was towards the other guy. But he was very upset at losing. And at the end of the day, I was actually happy with that, because I don't want him to be happy with losing. And I think people listening to this podcast, don't be happy with losing, and that's in life. So work your butt off to where you don't have to lose. And sometimes, though, it's not about winning or losing at the end of the day either. It's about the journey to get there. And I told him that, and he knows that. And everybody listening, listen, guys, life's not about winning or losing. It's about if you get knocked down, you get back up. And Finn is doing just that.
Yeah.
And this kid was bummed. And then literally I told him this, and this is just the veteran in me coming out. I was like, listen, buddy. I go, you're upset now. I go, give it a couple of hours. I'm not kidding. Give it. My dad told me this always. He goes, listen, Travis. He goes, you're allowed to be upset about a loss. He goes, but I have a 24-hour rule. He goes, after 24 hours, I don't want to hear another thing about it. He goes, you're moving on. You're going on to the next thing.
Yeah.
He goes, but he said, remember that feeling that you felt when you lost? So when you go to train at the gym the next day, you literally remember that feeling and you never want to have it again. So you work your butt off.
And I did. The best athletes out there and the best business people, when they fail or when they lose, whatever it is, you take the experience, soak it in, because it's don't avoid it.
No.
You have to soak it in.
Own it.
Own it and learn from it. What are the things that you could have done better? And maybe even doing things better still would have, you know, equaled a loss.
Mm-hmm.
But where can you adapt? Where can you, you know, do some fine-tuning on your skills, things like that? But for Finn, being so young, learning in that environment, going to a bigger, you know.
He just started boxing when he was 17
great.
Years old,
it's
too.
Awesome.
Like.
It's awesome. And so to both of your fighters that fought, because I know the third didn't because she had her hand was hurt.
Yep, Taylor.
So Taylor McCook, she's up and coming, too.
Yeah.
Man, take and especially for the teammates to see it too.
Yep.
It's one thing learning from your own loss, but look at your teammates, learn from their wins and losses.
Yep.
Right. So it's such. I love sports, and that's why we miss it so much. I think nation miss it so much.
And we need it.
We miss it in its pure form. We don't.
Yep.
We don't. What we have now on TV and the social crap, we don't like this. And maybe some people do, but for the most part, I think sports fans are turned off by a lot of what we're seeing right now. We talk about it almost weekly. We just miss the purity of the game, of where it was before everyone became a diva, before everyone became a superstar and rock star, and all of a sudden they decided to take that upon themselves to say, oh, well, now I have a platform, so you're going to listen to me because of how great I am.
Or before everyone became a victim.
Yeah. It's
not even a diva. It's this victim mentality that
we have. I
think,
this is another tangent for us. But as we're looking, I think 10 days away, we're staring at the NFL. It's going to be very telling how they approach their season, because that is arguably the largest American sports league out there currently. I think at a time the NBA was, but right now it's the NFL, right?
NBA is not even close to the NFL.
Not anymore. Not even close. When Jordan was around, maybe, but the NFL now is like, that's it. It's going to be very interesting to see how they tackle this.
Yep.
Because they've had the luxury of seeing the NBA, NHL, and MLB and how they've handled things. And also solo sports, things like UFC, boxing, tennis, things like that. They've had the luxury of seeing it and seeing what works and what doesn't. I'm going to be very curious to see, Travis, how they handle this in 10 days.
Brandon, I really hope that they've done their homework, because they're a massive organization in the world. People tune into the NFL. They used to, at least. So let's hope they still do.
All I know is that within a week, I have two fantasy football drafts. So, I mean, it's going to...
Oh, my gosh. I just forgot. I have one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But you know what, though? Positive thing about all of that, we can go back to the Sugar Bird, is the Sugar Bird happened, and they had fans.
Yeah.
So that's positive. And I think that anybody listening to this should be like, we should be thankful right now for amateur boxing, because, to my knowledge, that's the first event that's had, you know, 500 fans. And I'm telling you, 500, this is my estimate, this wasn't released, nobody said anything, but that's just from my looking at the event and knowing how many people were there, and just kind of gauging it by that. But it was a full place. It was at the Charlotte Event Center in Punta Gorda, so if you can look that up, that place is a big place. So the fact that we had fans there, we had noise, we had some camaraderie. By the way, I'll bring that up too. All of this crap that's been going on, I shouldn't say crap, but all of this, I don't know what you want to say.
Crap's a good word.
All right, I'll just stick with crap.
Crap.
All this crap going on in the world, not even the world, let's just say the U.S., because I think it's going on everywhere, but it's more polarized because the U.S., we're massive.
It's politically polarized here, for sure.
For sure, because we have an election coming up for a president in November, if anybody didn't know that, we do. So it's very polarizing right now, and both sides are trying to play it up to their advantage. which really angers me. And if anybody knows me, I'm a very positive person, and I think everybody should get along, and I want everybody to get along. And if you turn on the news, they make you think that people are not getting along.
Yeah.
But what I want to tell everybody is, we're down at the Sugar Bird. This is boxing. It's a very multicultural sport. I've been in it since I was 6 years old. We have whites, we have blacks, we have Asians, we have Mexicans, we have Latino, everything. You know how good everybody was getting along? Even in a boxing, which everybody considers a violent sport, which, by the way, amateur boxing, I just don't feel like it's very violent. Like, it's very, very, it's a sport. It's very pure. So I want to tell everybody that we were all down there. Do you know how many people cared about their skin color there? Zero. Yeah. I'm not kidding. There was zero people that cared about the race or their skin color. Period. I'm not kidding.
But Travis, I think that's a majority of people in this country. So once again, we're going to scale it to the country, not the globe, right? I believe, and this is coming from somebody that is of ethnic origin as well. So my skin tone is tanner than yours, because of half of
just because I haven't been out in the sun in a couple of days, Brandon.
Well, maybe that and other things. But I think a majority of people in this country really don't give a crap, right? And I think some care too much positively, if that makes sense. Like, they care overboard to the point of, like, let's say that I'm a Caucasian person and I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is of ethnic origin. We should give them, like, we should help them so much more. And there's others that are, it's a hate-filled seeing the differences. So I, in my opinion, from my experience, because I've been racially profiled, I've been discriminated against several times in my life. But I think in general, I think people really don't care. Yeah. They don't. And I think some of it has to do with the way that, obviously, they're raised, whatever else. But media does not help this. Mm-hmm. You would think that with the power and influence that a media has or politicians have, that they would help to quench this fire a bit, the racial fire that we have, especially right now, which is so heated. But no, they just throw freaking gasoline on it.
Yeah.
So much.
I just want to say something that I do believe that there are some racist people.
Absolutely.
But I think that we have isolated events. Meaning, America as a whole, if you're listening to this and you don't like what I'm saying, go ahead and unfollow us, because I really don't care at this point. But I believe America, out of all the places in the world, I'm talking about the world, we're a melting pot. We have more different and diverse cultures in the United States of America than any other country in the world, okay? We do. We have a ton of different races. We have a different origin, everything here. Okay, we're very accepting of all of those. But again, do we have some isolated events of people that are racist? I 100%, yes, we do. But every single country has that. Every single country in the world has people that are ignorant. And yes, this is why, and I will say this, and people who are racist, in my opinion, a racist person is a person that judges a person based on only the color of their skin. I think you're an ignorant person. If you judge a person before you even get to know them, you see the color of their skin is a different color than yours, and you judge them already, then you are ignorant, period. I do not believe that America is ignorant as a whole. I do believe we have isolated events, and I believe that we should hold those people who do ignorant things, we should hold those people accountable and not punish an entire country. Because I don't believe we're a perfect country. But I believe that we are a very accepting country.
Right.
We accept a lot of different ethnicities, a different people from different cultures all around.
Races, creeds, all of it, yeah.
All of it.
Religions, all of it.
Everything. And you know what? Whether you agree with religions or not, I'm a Christian. I've said it many times. You're a Christian as well. Do I think my religion is better than yours? I absolutely do not. Because ultimately, God teaches love. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, I believe love. You teach love. So therefore, you should love people and respect people.
It's a tolerance thing. So it's just because the religious topic, just because someone has a different religious background than I would or that you would, doesn't mean that all of a sudden, boom, we hate. Now, there are certain parts of the world that, that's their version of racism, if you want to call it. It's because someone has a different religious background, they are infidel, they are this and that. So that we don't see that too much here, per se. But I would say is that if somebody has a different religious background than me, just because I don't agree with it, just because I don't believe that that's, I believe that, that my religious background is it, doesn't mean all of a sudden I shun you. Doesn't mean, oh, you're less of a person. No, if anything, no, I accept conversation. I accept people for who they are.
Yep.
I have plenty of friends that we have, our backgrounds are so different. Our political structures are so different. But we still get along because we have, there's commonality. There's common threads. We mentioned that in one of our weeks back many weeks ago. It's like there still needs to be a commonality between people in order to engage and to have fun and socialize and be friends. But I think what we're seeing that's thrown up on TV so much is isolated. It is not, I mean, they want to take a broad stroke to the whole country or to a whole population group or to a whole race and say, this is how white America is. This is how, you know, black America is. This is how, you know, Hispanic America. And it's not fair. That is not consistent to what reality is. Because for every time in my life that I've been prejudiced against or I've had somebody scream something at me, I have countless, you know, interactions with people of other ethnicities that are positive or just normal.
Yep.
So I don't see if somebody, if some guy or gal shouts some obscenity at me with regard to my skin color or whatever else, I don't view that as this is what the population is.
Yeah. And that's what we have to, my favorite word through all of this, you know, if 2020 has taught me anything, it's taught me accountability. Mm. We need to start holding people accountable for their actions and things they do. Those people, period. And this is what I tell everybody too. And I actually just tweeted this and I said, listen, your happiness, it depends on you. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's you. You own that responsibility. And if you're looking to other people to be happy or to be accepting, then you're putting that power to them. And at the end of the day, your happiness relies within you, period.
And to add to that, someone that's filled with hatred, racism, all these things that we're seeing just plastered on TV right now
and social media.
And social media, which, I trust me, I'm not trying to make it a situation where it's not relevant. It's very relevant. This stuff is happening, and it's very important. But when you look at the root of hatred, bigotry, racism, it starts at the heart level with the person. It's not the whole culture. It's not, you know, the whole ethnicity. When someone's heart is filled with that blackness, that darkness, I should say, when someone's heart is filled with that darkness, that's going to spill into their whole life, and that's where you're going to see hate, bigotry, racism, all these negative things. It's a heart level. It's not an ethnicity level, in my opinion. It's not a cultural level. It starts in the home, starts in the heart, starts on that level. It's a sin nature issue. So I know sometimes we talk religion. It's a sin nature issue. I don't know how we got here. How did we get here?
Remember, if you aren't happy, that's not other people's responsibility.
Right.
It's yours. Accountability is what we need more of. People need to hold themselves more accountable. That's it. At the end of the day. And that's everybody. You can hold other people accountable. If you see a person being racist, call them out.
Call
that situation out. Like, that's what you need to stop that person right there and be like, don't judge a person based on their color. But I also believe that just because a situation involves two different races, by default, that does not make it racist. If that makes sense. You know, it is possible that two different races can disagree based on principle, based on their interaction together. It doesn't mean that just because they disagree, it doesn't mean it was because of the color of their skin. And we have to get away from that. We have to realize that every time a situation happens with somebody that's a different ethnicity or a different color of your skin, that it's not by default racist. Because it's not. People can disagree based on principles, based on that moment. So isolated events don't necessarily have to be racist every single time. Does it happen? Yes. Am I denying racism exists? No, I'm not. It does happen. But you know how much it happens? I think it happens a lot less than what you see on TV, what you see in the media, what you see on social media. It happens a lot less than people want to believe.
Right.
It happens a lot less than politicians want to let you believe.
Right.
It happens a lot less than mainstream media wants you to believe. So at the end of the day, people, stop being such brainwashed sheep and believing everything the media shows you.
Yeah. Yeah, look in the mirror first, look at your own issues, look at your own heart first, and then move from there. I mean, to Travis's example, Travis, as a Caucasian male who's a Dallas Cowboys fan, and me, who is a tan male, who is a Green Bay Packers fan, just because we disagree as to how bad the Cowboys are, doesn't mean that I'm racist against Travis.
I'm so tired of hearing about your Packers. So tired of it.
Okay, well... You know,
wait, does that mean that we disagreed that you're a different color than me, that I'm racist for disagreeing with you?
I think if...
am I prejudiced?
I think if every news outlet, including CNN and MSNBC, got a hold of this, they'd say you're racist against me. But then they find out...
But then you turn on Fox, and they will defend me.
Maybe.
Yeah, but you're right, maybe.
See, it's all messed up, guys.
Listen to Weighing In with Travis Hartman. We'll give you the truth and an unbiased opinion.
And then you're going to walk away just as confused as we are and just realize, huh, well, I don't even know. Was the Sugarbird good? So bringing it back. So that was a good breakdown of how the Sugarbird went this weekend. It's at least a positive sign. So I'll take the positive. I know you had mentioned that it's kind of in jest about what positive
I'll
really
give
is
you
there.
Some positives.
Here's the positive. We're back to competing. There are events, and they're sprinkled, they're out there, and it's another sign of us digging our way out of this, this coronavirus world, which means...
Push-ups.
Is another way of us digging us out of that world, that whole thought process of how we felt mentally trapped by this deal, sports coming back. And with this, Travis, tell me, how much social injustice messaging was done at the Sugarbird?
Zero.
Okay, because we got back to the art. We got back to the purity of it.
People cared about competing.
People, I'm telling you, fans want that so badly, and I wish the major sports outlets would catch hold of that and really run with it. I know they're watching us.
They are, for sure.
They are.
They're of the tens.
LeBron, I know you're hearing my voice. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it.
LBJ. Listen, you're here in Orlando. Don't make me come over to Disney.
I'm just kidding. I don't even know what's going on. I mean, what's going on with the NBA right now? Are they in the playoffs?
Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
But we have to do finish talking about?
What's that?
We left everybody on a cliffhanger. Do you remember the cliffhanger?
I do, but let's get the 5 push-ups done because of what I just said.
We're going to leave them on another cliffhanger. So
No. We'll
Brandon
come back
said
to
the
it.
Big C, but we left you on break, and then we've rambled for another 30 minutes probably.
This is what we do, but that's why you enjoy it. Listen. This is
just laugh a little, people. If you're listening to us, I hope that you're laughing a lot, especially at my cool outfit. But
I haven't talked about this. This is ridiculous. Is it top and bottom?
Top. It's a top and bottom today.
Is there like a website?
There is, but I can't tell you because...
Is this where you get it from?
Yeah. Well, I get one a week. I get one a week delivered. By the way, it was delivered while I was in Punta Gorda, and I have somebody staying with us right now. I was like, hey, it showed... Amazon showed that it got delivered. Can you go pick it up for me?
Okay, listen. I'm going to move to my angle here, so hopefully this works. You see my shirt? Whiskey helps. It helps me take care of looking at this thing every week. Look at this.
We're going to go do our push-ups, okay. And then you can see me while we're doing our push-ups. How about that?
It's only 5 push-ups.
Okay. 5. So we left you guys on a cliffhanger about Travis and the Sugarbird and USA Boxing.
Ah, yes. Let's go to this, Travis, because I think I heard a rumor from my sources that you got in trouble.
I did.
Okay, so my sources tell me that it was mask-related.
It was.
I will tee it up to that. So please, Travis, give us some insight as to what transpired.
So listen, it's called the gloving area. It's where all the boxers go to get gloved. It's a pretty big room. So you go in there about 5 or 6 bouts before you're going to fight. This is because of the Big C. So you have to go in there because of the Big C, because normally you wouldn't go in there until you're getting ready to fight. You have to wear masks, everybody, including the fighters. I'd been there like 6 hours already. This is on Sunday. This is the finals. My fighter, Finn, is fighting in the finals. He's in the locker room. This is his first fight, by the way. So the kid's very nervous, so I'm really trying to stick close to him. I'm trying to keep him positive and all of this stuff and deal with his nerves because I know he's nervous because you're getting ready to go into battle and you're going there by yourself. So I'm there with him. And guys, I'm not perfect. I'm not even close to it. And if anybody knows anything about me, they know that I'm not perfect. And we go back to our Christian roots. I'm a sinner daily, period. Mm-hmm. So I admit that 100%. I try to do better, but I do sin. We're in there. I've been there like 6 hours. I pulled my mask down to where just my nose was showing just to get a little bit of fresh air. I've been breathing my own breath all day, which was horrendous, by the way.
Not very good.
Not very good. And I can admit that only to you guys. But I pulled my mask down. Just my nose was showing. I was socially distancing. I was away from everybody. By the way, I don't believe in this whole thing, but I abide by the rules. Okay? I don't believe in the whole BS, all of this.
Okay.
Okay? But I abided by the rules because they're supposed to happen. But I kind of did break the rules a little bit. I pulled my mask down. I had my nose. My nose was exposed. Okay? My mouth was still covered. My nose was exposed. I was breathing in the air. This USA boxing official who I'm gonna venture to say was 75 years old maybe. And this is what's wrong with boxing is we have some cranky people in the commission and professional boxing and also in USA boxing. I don't know his name, so I'm not going to put him on blast because, one, I don't know his name. But he was very rude and mean, and I pulled my mask down for literally 5 seconds. And mind you, I am also wearing one of my flowered tropical shirts. And when you wear that at a boxing match, guys, you stick out like a sore thumb. And I was okay with that because I was like, you know what? This is weekend Trav. Sunday's my day. So I didn't care. I wore it anyway. I even told my fighters, like, listen, you guys make it to the finals. Weekend Trav comes out. I'm wearing my flowered shirt. It doesn't matter. They're like, yeah, we respect that. Cool. Go for it. I've earned that right, by the way. So I pull the mask down. This old guy, he points me out in this. There's probably like 30 people in this big room. And he finds me of all people, which I can't complain because I probably stuck out like a sore thumb. He looks at me. I have a mask on, by the way. Nobody really can. You can't recognize people when their mask is covering their nose. I had a hat on, too.
You're just like that.
And I also had a hat on. So he looks at me. He says, are you a fighter? And I look at him. I was like, no. And he was like, then get out. I was like, I'm a coach. And that's my fighter right there. He's like, get out. Put your mask on and get out. And I was just like, this is how good of a guy I am, though, because there was a guy literally standing right in front of me in his vision who had his mask down to his chin. I'm not even kidding. This is a true story. He looks right past that guy at me. And I look at that guy, and I was like, do I want to rat this guy out and call him out in front of everybody? And I was like, I don't, and I'm really mad. I look at that. I look at the old guy who just yelled at me. I was like, are you kidding me right now, man? He was like, yeah, you got to get out of here. And I was just like, I look at that guy, and he looks at me like scared, like, please don't rat me out. And I was like, fine. So I walk out. I walk out for like 30 seconds, put my mask back on, and I just slip back in because I don't really care. But I put my mask back on. I slip back in because I want to be with my fighter. My fighter was nervous. This kid's first ever fight. So I put it back on. I slipped in, and I look around. There's like 15 other coaches and fighters doing the same thing I did. And I was just like, I look at him. I look at everybody. I'm like, whatever. I didn't say anything, but I was angry.
Bro.
But you know what? Here's the deal, though. This is another rant, but I think it's true. Boxers, we need desperately a fighters union, period. In amateur and pro.
We don't have the time for that today.
No, we don't.
Okay.
But I do want to put that out there because we're going to talk about that in future episodes.
Let's
because I genuinely believe in that because we do not have a voice. We don't. These guys constantly are rude, condescending, boss people around, and at the end of the day, they're there for us. If they didn't have fighters, they wouldn't have a job. And that's the funny thing about all of this is we're amateur boxers. We're doing it for free. They're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just, it upsets me because they're very, and it's like, they're not nice about it. They're very rude about it. And I don't like it.
So I think that'll be a good topic for another week, maybe even next week. It just depends how we go. What I will say is maybe Travis, just maybe, the guy wasn't racist, but he was hating on you because of your outfit.
I think he was. He judged me. He stereotyped me.
He was stereotyping. Unfairly. And judging.
He probably thought I was this little nerdy, dorky white boy who had never fought a day in his life.
Okay, well, that
not part, realizing that, man, I'd done a lot of stuff.
Not realizing you're just a nerdy, dorky white boy. Okay, so I think we're going to tie this up. We're going to put a bow on it. Sugarbert needs some work this year. We understand Big C
in the qualifier.
You know, so better luck next time, I guess. But what's what we're happy to see is that events are happening.
That's the positive.
That's the big positive, is that this world is viewing competition and missing it and gravitating towards it.
Yep.
You know, by show.
And I think Sugarbird will get better.
Oh, of course.
Because they're really good. Like, and I appreciate them taking the effort to go through the stress, because that was a very stressful event for
them
too.
Absolutely. So I know it sounds like we were just very, very critical of it, but we say it out of love, really, because we want to see this thing get better. I know it's been a weird year. 2020 has been a weird year for everybody. But as we move forward and press forward as a country and a world and get through this crap that we're dealing with, it will improve. So thank you to the Sugarbert and to the promoters for putting that event on still. Yep. And for all the athletes and the coaches that participated in that. However, we're going to start tying this up. Travis, closing thoughts.
Everybody love everybody.
Jeez, are we back to that? That was like week one.
E-L-E. That should be week every week. That's E-L-E. That's okay. E-L-E. Everybody love everybody.
Hashtag we too. We too.
No, that you were on point with that.
I'm on fire.
I'm going to give you credit for that
fire.
Because I'm going to start hashtagging we too.
We too.
I mean, I think we should do that. That's a new thing.
Did
we just invent that?
Remember when me too was a thing? What happened to that?
I mean, it's still a thing only when it benefits one certain political party.
Well, we moved on to other stuff, right?
Yeah, we have. There's bigger distractions.
We haven't even talked about WNBA in forever, either. I feel like that's still a sport?
Because we lost the three fans that we had.
Well, that's as many fans as they have. So with that, we thank you for joining us this week. I know we've been rambling quite a bit. We're going back and forth on stuff, but that's why you love us. That's why you may subscribe to us, and if you don't, you should. And you should hit that bell thing, and you should hit that thumb up thing.
And if you don't, I will come and punch you straight in the stomach.
Yeah. Wow. Ouch.
Is that violent?
That's pretty violent.
I'm sorry.
However, our Facebook page is up and running.
Find us
on YouTube. Find us on Spotify. Find us on iTunes. You know, Travis, I think you're on Instagram and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I'm on there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get all that down. But we appreciate your support. We appreciate you joining us this week. Talking about the amateur boxing and other stuff. We're going to be back next week over Labor Day weekend, but we're still hard at work here at the TH.
Boxing's back, though.
TH Boxing Facility. The calendar's full. We haven't even talked about the calendar. We're not going to because...
But it's full, though. There's a lot of boxing going on, guys.
But we're not talking about it because it's late, and we've had a long day, and we're going to tie it up and wrap it up. So, Travis, I appreciate you. That is Travis Hartman.
That is the producer. Brandon Waters.
Thanks, guys. God bless.